lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Isn't it great to be able to study the Word of God? God has given us so many things that we need to be thankful for while we're here on this earth. He's given us salvation. That's the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive. And we need to thank God daily by every moment of our life that God has given us the privilege of having eternal life. If you've never experienced eternal life yet, you need to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Well, in Romans chapter 9 is where we're going to look at today in a few verses. Romans chapter 9, we'll start with verse 11. It says, "For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil." Now, this is talking about Isaac and Jacob and all those people who were we read about in the Old Testament. This is Abraham's children. It says that they had done no good or evil. Why? "That the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth." And it goes on in verse 12 where it says, "It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." Well, let me remind you that God's purpose and choice were not based upon works, as we read of in the Old Testament. And his choice today is not based upon works either. He chooses that all men and women are to be saved. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And we know that John 3:16 talks about that, and that God loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish. Believe on him, however you want to say it there. When you trust him, you ask him into your heart, that person who does that would not perish but have everlasting life. God wants everybody to be saved. He wants us to know that it's not by works that he saves people. Now, I call to your attention verse 11 of chapter 9 of Romans, where God is not, when we read this, God is creator of all and needs no human justification for his actions. Romans chapter 9 and verse 11 talks about that. And we also see that it is his prerogative to choose whomever he will. We can be confident that his purpose is good and holy. And whether or not we understand it now, it's our responsibility simply to trust and thank him. He does choose individuals for certain jobs, but not to be saved. But for certain jobs, he calls people to do. Once again, he wants everyone to be saved. And when we get saved, then we are able to serve God to our fullest. Now, the Bible says there are differences in administrations. And just as the body is made up of many members, so is the body of Christ. And so are the people who make up the body of Christ. And there are many members, and each one has a different calling. In other words, God chooses certain people for certain things. So we need to understand, first of all, that God is no respecter of persons when it comes to things of God. He wants everybody to be saved. He's no respecter of persons. And really, when he chooses someone to do a specific job, it's not that he is a respecter of that person over or and above another person. It's that that person has been chosen to do a specific job for him in the local church and the body of Christ. Well, let's look at Romans chapter 9 and verse 14. And we see here in these verses through 23 that the true children of God are the objects of God's mercy. In verses 14 through 16, it says, "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." Being a true child of God is possible only through his mercy. Once again, it's not by works, but it's according to his grace. It's by his mercy, and that's what verses 14 through 16 are really talking about. In verse 15, this was said to Moses in response to Moses' request to see the glory of God. And we read in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 19, and when we read that, we see that since there are none who merit salvation, just as Moses did not merit going into the promised land, he was refused by God to go into the promised land because of his disobedience. There are none who merit salvation, just as, once again, Moses, he had to merit going into the Holy Land. He disobeyed God in a certain area, and so there he could not go in. But those of us who are saved, we do not have to merit it by our own works. We are given the privilege of entering into God's holiness by him and him alone. It's by God's righteousness that we're saved. It's not something that we can do on our own. It's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verses 17 and 18, the Bible says this, that it says, "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh," and once again, Paul is talking about individuals, and he's calling attention right now to the people that here have different things that took place in the Old Testament. He says, "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth." We see in these verses, in verses 17 and 18, Pharaoh was shown to be the object of God's wrath and mercy. Now, we often think it was just his wrath, but he showed mercy in his dealings with Pharaoh as well. In verse 17, we need to note here that Paul equates the words spoken by God with Scripture. In Exodus chapter 9, verse 16, some would have you believe that we do not look at the Old Testament and we cannot read that as the Word of God. And there are a lot of people who do not believe that the Old Testament should be used today, those of us who are living. But the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for correction, and for the instruction that we can learn what God has for us to learn from the book, the whole book, the Bible. You can't just choose part of it. You must take it all. It's all the inspired Word of God. Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16, it says, And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up. Now it's talking about Pharaoh again here. For to show in thee, of Pharaoh in other words, my power, and that my name may be declared throughout the earth. See, God was using Pharaoh, and Pharaoh didn't even realize it. He was using Pharaoh to show his mercy. So we see that God in his infinite knowledge, his infinite mercy, he was actually showing his mercy as he dealt with Pharaoh. And in verses 19 through 23, we see that God, his right is to choose the object of his mercy and his wrath. He can choose whomever he wants. In verses 19 through 23, it says, "Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault?" In other words, if he's doing the choosing, why is he finding fault? In other words, if God is the one choosing, why is he finding fault? And it goes on to say, "For who hath resisted his will?" Verse 20 goes on to say, "Nay, But, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Who are you to question God, in other words? What gives you the right to question God's authority? Who are you to question God? God is saying, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath filled to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory? This is verse 23, going back to verse 19. You see, we often look at the things that God did in the Old Testament and even carried on through the New Testament, and we wonder why he does certain things. But we don't know everything about God. If we knew everything about God, then we would be God. God knows everything. Paul was trying to get across to these people he was speaking to at that time that, and let me say to us today, that God knows what's going on. He is the one who makes the decisions and not man. Man cannot decide whether or not another person is saved or lost. I can't see another person's heart. I can't see. But God sees all. It's all of God. A person is saved by trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him to save them so they can go to heaven. Romans chapter 9, verses 24 through 29, we see that the true children of God are both the Jews and the Gentiles. God is no respecter of persons. God makes no difference as long as that person has trusted Jesus as Savior. Not of Jews only, as foretold by O.C., this would be Hosea. Let's read verses 24 through 26 of chapter 9 here. It says, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in O.C., Now, once again, this is another name for Hosea in the Old Testament. Remember, Paul quotes the Old Testament quite a bit in the book of Romans. He says, I will call them my people, which were not my people. Now, he's talking about the Gentiles now. And it says, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And verse 26 goes on to say, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Now, of course, in Hosea chapter 2 and verse 23, it talks about this, and it says, I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will show to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. Well, once again, this is plain. He's speaking of the Gentiles here. And what Paul is doing here for the church at Rome is letting those Jewish people who were saved, who had come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, he was letting them know that the Gentiles were saved the same way they were. He was letting the Gentiles know that the Jews were saved the same way they are. In other words, he's telling us, and he's telling them, there is no difference. All are the same in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek. Once you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he does not prefer you over anybody else or me over anybody else. We're all the same. We've all come to a saving knowledge, and it's all by God. It's all by Jesus Christ. And if you've never trusted Jesus, you need to do that right now. Ask him to come into your heart. Trust him right now to save you, because there's no difference in me or you. I'm saved. I'm better off than you if you've never trusted him, but you can have what I've got, and that's Jesus Christ, by asking him into your heart.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.